right. I'm joined here in the KUNM Studio A by Kevin Crawford, flute and whistle, Killian Valelli on the pipes and whistles, Colin Farrell on fiddle, Trevor Hutchinson on bass, and Ed Boyd on guitar. And thank you guys very much for coming in here.
Thanks, Brandon. Good to be here.
Thank you, guys. And thanks, Ramon, for the excellent mix that you're doing back there in the studio. Thanks, guys. I know you guys are, it's kind of the beginning of the tour, right?
Yeah,
you've only had like 5 or 6 or 7 dates so
far?
Yeah,
we're under our belt, probably 5 or 6 now at this stage, and we've another 3 or 4 weeks to go, so it's just getting up and running, really.
And you're Kevin, right?
I am indeed.
All right, Kevin. And you guys tend to like to start in the Northwest on your tours, or is that just coincidence that I saw some other tours that started up there?
Wow.
Is it the weather up there that kind of matches Ireland's, or...?
It's a lot nicer than Ireland, I'll tell you that much.
Is it now? Well, I was listening to this music, and one of the reviews that I read made a comparison with the Celtic nodding, and you know the interwovenness of all your parts of music, and how it comes together as a whole. And I can feel it right here in this room when I was listening to you guys. Why don't you guys reintroduce yourselves and what you play here?
Okay, well, I'm Kevin Crawford, and I'm flute player, whistle player, and sometimes percussionist in the band. Then next to me I have...
I'm Killian Valerie. I mostly play the pipes, but play the low whistle the odd time too in the band.
And this pipe that you have here, is this a particular...
Yeah, it's called the Illan pipes. It's kind of the main Irish traditional pipe, yeah.
Not like Illan, like hip-hop Illan. Not like that.
It's cool, all right, but...
Well, Chris Byrne of Black 47 invented the line, chillin' on the Illan.
I like it. And on fiddle?
Yeah, my name's Colin Farrell, and I play the fiddle, and, yeah, like Killian, sometimes a low whistle as well.
All right.
Hiya, my name's Ed Boyd, and I play the acoustic guitar.
All right.
I'm Trevor Hutchinson. I play the upright bass.
Yeah, and Trevor's almost as big as this massive bass here. In here. He has the hardest job in the band because he's got to lug that around.
That's true.
And you guys have played New Mexico a couple times?
Many times, yeah. Going back through the history of our kind of touring, we've played here, wow, gosh, must be 10 or 11, 12 times maybe. In and around Albuquerque,
used
the Chemo Theater, and we were here actually last December. We played in the
Hispanic Center.
Yeah.
Oh, in the National Hispanic Cultural Center.
So, no, we love it here. Lots of friends here, lots of great connections here now at this stage, and always a blast to come back.
Yeah, and these guys are going to be at the Macy's Center tonight in Socorro. In fact, as soon as they get done here, they got to break everything down and run down there for their next sound check. So they're working hard, and you can tell just from what you just heard how professional these guys, what great musicians they are. I noticed one thing, and I'm sure this is probably one of the main things you guys are asked. There's no singer.
Yep.
And that was...
That was intentional on our behalf. It's just we felt that the melodies were strong enough on their own, and we thought we could maybe explore a little bit more if we just had melodies to kind of make up the repertoire. There's a kind of a format or a formula, if you like, in Irish music and Irish bands where you kind of have a token song after each couple of sets of tunes, and we just thought we might try and go it alone. And it gives us the opportunity to play tunes from other Celtic kind of genres in the place of perhaps where a song would be, and yeah, we mix it up.
It also gives the dancers a chance to catch their breath if they were...
if there's a singer.
Is it... you said to play Celtic tunes from other regions, like, for example...
We like music from the north of Spain, Galicia, Asturias, the Breton tradition, the Celtic region of France, even just Scottish tunes. You know, they're our neighbours and stuff, but the tunes are slightly different. French-Canadian pieces. You know, anything really that grabs our attention, if it's a kind of slightly... unusual piece, we can kind of use the excuse, well, that's our song.
Yeah. You use part of the song, or you use the whole thing, or
we've been known to chop something up and make a complete mess.
Well, that's the nature of music, really. Albuquerque's lucky as far as the Celtic music, because you guys are here, and then Monday is Carlos Nunez, who's supposed to be last Saturday, and then I think there's some Breton folks who are going to be here soon through AMP concerts, which...
Brilliant.
I don't know if you guys... So if you love the Celtic music, you're in luck. As far as dancing, I mean, you guys play a lot of concert halls at this point. Is that less or more rewarding than playing in a pub or a small venue where people are up and dancing and drinking and that kind of
thing? It's more rewarding than playing
more
in a
rewarding.
Pub. More
rewarding. In the financial sense.
No, well, yeah. Well, for our, I think for any band that has an arrangement of something, you know, it gets diluted a little bit when you play it in a bar or you know, there's a lot of things going on, and some of the stuff that we might have spent a long time kind of arranging, it gets lost in the kind of noise and stuff.
Sure.
And to be perfectly honest, I think the musicians that went before us worked very hard to try and create an arena or a platform for Irish bands to be able to do concerts and not just play in a bar. And we love playing in bars, but not as a band. I mean, when we're not together as a band, we're always jumping in and playing in sessions and in bars and stuff like that. But I think any group that puts the work in deserves to be heard in a proper kind of environment, and performing arts centres are the way
to go. I read recently that you don't tour now as heavily as you used to, which is amazing, because I looked and I saw, I think, 40 tour dates around thereabout, and I was like, how much did you used to tour?
Yeah, that was accurate probably 2 or 3 years ago, that we didn't tour as much, but we seem to be upping the ante again. And I mean, there's swings and roundabouts, you know. It's good that we're busy like that. You go through kind of spells where you don't perhaps want to tour as much, you do more recording, or and it's just come about that we have a new management, we have new things happening, we've new blood on board with Colin Farrell on the fiddle, and it re-energizes a band, and it gives you kind of the impetus to maybe want to go out and tour a bit more.
Yeah. Do you guys like each other?
At this point,
early in the tour.
Yeah, well, it's
early in the tour being the keyword.
It's a well-oiled machine. Band,
yeah, yeah. You finish each other's sentences.
Finishes each other's dinners.
Yeah. Right, are you going to finish that? Okay, I'll take that. As far as your sound, how traditional is it? How much do you guys lock into a traditional Celtic Irish sound, and where do you push that? Where do you kind of stretch out?
Well, from the melody end of it's very traditional, and then I suppose we kind of try and open it up a bit with the arrangements and the accompaniment.
Okay, and this is from Trevor Hutchinson, the bass. So the bass and the guitar kind of laying down the rhythm, or is it more led by the melody, or
a bit of both, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a Celtic knot where it's all blends together.
It really is, yeah, yeah. I think it fits perfectly.
But traditionally, you know, the traditional instrumentation would definitely be the fiddle and the pipes and the flute, and then the guitar and the bass are much more modern add-ons, if you like.
Yeah, well, it seems like these instruments could project enough into a room without amplification, and that you would need to add something. So it kind of makes sense that those are the original parts of it.
Mm. I think we kind of, it's as if we start playing the tunes and then they follow us, and then we start following them again on the kind of harmony and stuff like that.
All right, and that was Killian on the pipes there. You're listening to KUNM. I'm joined in the studio here by the members of Lunasa. And would you guys take us on another tour of your music?
Okay.
Could you? Would you?
Will, could you? Would you? Will you? Won't you? We will. And we'll try something a little softer on the ears this time. We'll play two tunes, starting out on this instrument known as the low whistle. And these two tunes are slow reels. Predominantly reels would be the big tune played at sessions and by most traditional bands, but they're generally a kind of an upbeat, happy, bouncy thing. And these are those tunes, but slowed down. And these are two tunes that I put together for a friend of mine that passed away a few years ago, named PJ Crotty. He was a flute player from County Clare on the west coast of Ireland.
All right, you're listening to Lunasa here on KUNM. All right. You're listening to Lunasa in the studio here. And this is Trevor Hutchinson on bass, Ed Boyd guitar, Colin Farrell on fiddle, Killian Vallely on whistles, and Kevin Crawford on whistle as well right now. Killian, did I pronounce your last name right?
It sounds French, Brandon. It's
actually,
beautiful.
You know what? It's hard for us here in New Mexico with our Spanish speaking because the double L is a Y sound. So yeah. I want to do Vallely.
Oh, even better. That's very good. Vallely.
Yeah. Killian Vallely. That was lovely. Thank you, guys. So one thing that I was thinking about and getting ready to talk to you guys was St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Where were you guys playing in St. Patty's Day? Do you know?
Very not close sure. to Washington, D.C.
Okay. So in the U.S. versus Ireland, what is that like as far as a St. Patty's Day in Ireland versus somewhere here in the United States?
It's definitely, I think, a bigger celebration here in the U.S. It has gotten to be more of a day that's celebrated in Ireland. When I was growing up, St. Patrick's Day meant nothing really, like... Yeah, you know, now it is. I think it's a public holiday now in Ireland, and
yeah, it's almost like we're copying the American version now.
Yeah, copying or maybe feedback. You know, it's sent out there and then it loops kind of back around. Mm. I don't know a lot about St. Patty's Day, but I was wondering about the symbolism of the green, and also even more interesting to me was the shamrock and the three leaves of the shamrock. And do you guys know anything about this? Like what its significance is, or?
They taught us those things at school, but that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I was looking it up.
Good.
And
good.
And I guess some of it was Christianity kind of replacing pagan kind of religions and stuff. And it was a Holy Trinity, which I didn't know. I was like, oh, okay. Sometimes there's symbolism like right under your nose and you don't even know. But something else that, I don't know, would probably be kind of considered kind of annoying from anybody. But I love doing really bad accents.
Great.
And Australian, you know, British, whatever. But do you have any pointers so I can up my Irish accent? And I'm sure there's different
areas.
But
don't take Tom Cruise's example in Far Away or whatever it was.
Oh, my God.
We
really?
Need to hear it, Brandon. You know, can you give us a bit?
Give me something very Irish to say first.
It is a lovely morning here in Albuquerque.
It is a lovely morning here in Albuquerque.
As Scottish.
No, it goes Scottish.
But
that's
it's
right.
Very good.
It goes right.
It's a very good Scottish accent, though. Yeah. Albuquerque. But Albuquerque isn't an easy one, though, is it, really?
No, it's not.
Chicago.
That's a better one.
So lengthen out the A's?
Yeah.
Is that part
of
it?
No, the big one is, like, say, is to add a H to a lot of things.
Hedge?
Like, we're going to be traveling up and around near Boston on this trip.
Boston.
Like, yeah, so anything Boston. That would have a thing, like, if you throw in the H, that immediately makes you authentic.
All right.
Irish.
Now that makes me think, can you do a Boston accent?
Boston. I can't. No, I can't do a Boston accent.
No. Anybody else want to try?
No. Boston. You're good at Boston.
Killian used to live there, so he should be good at it, but he's not very comfortable. He just likes his own accent.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't?
I do like accents,
accent.
Sir.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. The name of your band, how would you pronounce it in Irish? Is it a different pronunciation?
No.
Like straight up Irish?
No, that's the beauty of that one. I mean, there's not many words that can be kind of translated easily like that. And Lunasa is one of them. So we're lucky that we picked a word that wasn't so tough.
When the band was getting started in the mid to late 90s, what made you gravitate towards that?
It was the best of an incredibly bad bunch of names that were in the hat. It's probably one of the best things that we did, or that it was chosen just before I joined the band. But it's a great name.
Yeah, it's very lyrical, and the significance of it. It's a harvest festival from the fall.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like very rootsy, down to earth. Love it.
No, we have a brand. Like, I mean, it's a name that could go places.
They could.
It
hasn't already?
Well, it has.
Well, we're thinking of going into cereal, you know, cereal bars. with the harvest connection and all that.
Oh, very good.
Don't you think?
That'd be nice.
Because we're up Lunasa on our muesli and our granolas, so Lunasa granola could be good, couldn't it?
That actually sounds good. I'd eat it.
It does. Right?
Okay, well, we'll send you a free sample when we've got it. Yeah.
So, I love cereal, actually.
And I spent 3.5 hours last night watching Shark Tank, so we could nearly get in there and push it.
Yeah.
Try and get an old.
There's so much downtime for you guys on the road. I read somewhere somebody from the Stones was saying, "Yeah, we played together for 40 years and we spent like I don't know 10 of it on stage or whatever, because it's so much waiting, getting there, you know, doing your sound checks, all that kind of stuff." But when you guys have been touring around the world, what can you like just come off with a surprising experience, a place where you wouldn't think that there would be an audience for Celtic music in general?
Well, I mean, Japan is going to come to the top of the list, I suppose, a lot of the times. The very first time we went to Japan, that was a real eye-opener, because we didn't expect that type of a reaction and that type of knowledge, I suppose, in relation to Irish music and then in relation to the band, who were relatively new at that time when we went there first. They're you know, a fanatical kind of race of people that when they fall for something, they really go in you know, head first, and it's great. We go back there every couple of years, and Japan is always interesting culturally, and just again, as I say, the gigs are always very, very well received.
Yeah. Do they know more beyond just the music? Do they are familiar with general Celtic and Irish culture?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like I say, that they really do their research. They go full head on in, and it's not just about a particular band. They want to go further. They go back to the source, and from there, then they want to, you know, spread it out and find out about the culture and about the people and the place. And it's the biggest growing market in terms of people learning Irish traditional music now is in Japan.
Yeah, that's
it.
Very
used to be England and North America. Now it's
you've saturated the markets.
Japan. Yeah.
Is the Irish language alive and kicking? You know, you hear about languages kind of on the wane around the world. You know, we're losing, you know, how many languages per year, but that doesn't seem like a language that's.
In the last few years, it's become a lot stronger, hasn't it? In the schools, there's a lot of. I know my parents. I'm from Manchester, but my parents grew up in Ireland and. Their Irish would be fairly limited. They'd know a little bit. And a lot of my friends who I grew up with, I used to go to Ireland a lot 20, 30 years ago, a lot of them didn't have great Irish, but now most of the schools is compulsory.
Yeah.
There's a great little film, I think it's called Can Annam Dun? What does that mean in Irish?
Something name.
But about a guy in another country, and he spins the globe around, it lands on Ireland, and he decides wherever it's going to land, he's going to learn that language. And he spends a year or two learning the language, and he gets over there, and no one can understand him.
I saw a little trailer for that, actually. Yeah, that's true.
He has to move out to one of the islands.
Yeah. He had more Irish than the Irish themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, right. What's the name of the movie?
It's something like Can Annam Dun.
Yeah.
I've No Name.
I've No Name, yeah.
I think that's it, but it's a really good. It's only a short movie, half an hour, 40 minutes.
Right. Hey, do me a favor. Post that link to on your Facebook page.
To that movie. I'll find it out and let you know.
Yeah, I'd like to check that out. That sounds really cool. I love stuff about language. There's a great movie. I forget which languages it was. I think it was Russian, German, and one other one. Set at the end of World War One, and there's three people who have to deal with each other, and none of them knows the other language, and they have this little survival situation, and the conversations are hilarious because it's just. They just miss.
sounds like us.
They think they're talking about the same thing, and it just goes on and on.
I remember going to see that Jim Jarmusch movie called Night on Earth.
Oh yeah, oh.
I was in Budapest, and there's five different taxi drivers in different places on the earth. And I was okay with the Hungarian subtitles because I could understand, you know, the French and the Italian jobby one and the one that was set in America, but the last one was set in Finland. So they were talking in Finnish and the subtitles were in Hungarian. So that one wasn't really, that went
You're
above
like,
my head.
Happening?
Yeah,
that was a depressing part.
He's incredible with languages, this guy. He picks them up. Ed is amazing.
Oh, you're lucky, man.
Yeah.
The rest of us got to work at it. I'm joined here in the studio, Studio A, by Lunasa. This is Ed Boyd, Trevor Hutchinson, Colin Farrell, Killian Vallely, I'm going to say Vallely, and Kevin Crawford. These guys are going to be playing tonight at the Macy Center in Socorro.
That's the one.
And you can find them online at
Lunasa.ie.
Lunasa.ie.
Our Facebook page.
And I'm assuming if you can't catch them tonight, it sounds like they're back in the groove as far as heavy touring. And what's the touring diet? What do you, is it just totally whatever is available in each city?
No,
do you guys
pretty
actually
fussy.
No, yeah, we're very fussy.
That's
these,
good.
These days, with all the research you can do on the internet, it's fine. You know, we can find good coffees and good great food.
Yelp or whatever
you're
using. All right.
Am I right in thinking socorro means help in Spanish?
Socorro. No, no. Ayuda, ayudar is help. Socorro. I'll find out for you.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure.
Just hoping we don't need it tonight, you know.
Yeah, you guys will be fine. That's a lovely theater, and actually the people of Socorro are so lucky because they get awesome shows at really decent prices.
Wow.
And actually last time Carlos Nunez was here, I took my kids to go see him down there. So it's going to be a great show. Not exactly sure what time, I think 7:30.
Mm.
I'm going to have to let these guys go because they actually have to break down their stuff and head down there to do their sound check down there so they can entertain you guys. Hey, anything else?
No, just...
Do you guys have an album out? We didn't even...
Yeah, we do. We've actually a new album, two new albums. One is with an orchestra, and that's our most recent release. And then there's one that has come around a second time. We've just reissued a live recording that we had from a few years back. We've taken control of it again. We got it back from the record company, and we've just reissued that. So
okay,
couple of
I was noticing
there.
When you said recording, recording,
recording,
recording,
recording.
Okay, I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna work on it.
You're doing good. You're good. You're good. Remember the H's.
The H's.
That's the stuff.
All right. Lunasa, you guys, will you guys take us out?
Yeah, we'll take you out. Gee, right. That means something else in Ireland.
Yes, yes. Not a mafia kind of takeout. Thank
Thanks
you guys.
Very much. Thanks for having us,
Thank
Brendan.
You very
really
much.
Appreciate it. We'll play a few jigs, yeah?